ministry of the Word of God. I always enjoy coming to Faith Bible Fellowship. I remember when we met across the highway, just this little road out here, not much of a highway, but we met across there in the basement of the home. Had some good times there. And I remember the Sunday morning. We still had a good time, Brother McNeil. I remember the day that we took our shovels and took the first spade of earth out here, just around this spot here. And I remember speaking to you that day. It was a warm day. I told some friends today about the preacher. He was new at this place. And when he was shaking hands at the door, this lady came by. She said, "That was a warm sermon." I told you this before. I remember. You remember that? You don't? Well, he felt real good. It was a warm sermon. Next Sunday, we were shaking hands, and this lady came up, and she said to him, "Oh, that was a warm sermon." Boy, it made him feel so good, you know. Well, the third Sunday came, and she came by again, and she said to him, "That was a warm sermon." And he said to her, "Just what do you mean by that?" She said, "It just wasn't so hot." Okay. I knew Lacey would have something on that one. Because here, I know what he's going to say when he meets me tonight. And you all do too. Well, anyway, it's nice to be together. And the greatest thing is to study the Word of God together. Let us turn to 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7 tonight. And we want to begin our reading at verse 5. 1 Samuel chapter 7 verse 5. And Samuel said, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord." And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel, they restored to Israel from Ekron, even unto Gath, and the coasts thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah, and judged Israel in those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house. And there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. Now may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the God of the word, that you have been pleased to reveal yourself to us. It pleased you, O God, to make known thy very heart. You have revealed your heart in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you tonight for the riches of your grace, for your kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now open our understanding. We have opened thy word, and now we would multiply words upon that sacred portion which we have read. Enable us, O God, to so speak that thy people may be blessed, and above all else that our Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified, for we pray in his name with thanksgiving. Amen. Augustus Toplady wrote that hymn that we sang tonight. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. And I asked Brother Bobby to lead us in that tonight, because in most hymn books, that second stanza that we sang is no longer in. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. And tonight, we want to look at that expression, here I raise my Ebenezer. It is good, friends, to mark the hand of God in the lives of the saints of old. It's profitable to mark the hand of God in the lives of David, of Joseph, of Jacob, and others that we find in the Word of God. But have you raised any Ebenezers yourself to the glory of God in your own life? Have you passed through any rivers upheld by the divine presence? Have you walked through the fires unharmed? The God who spoke to Abraham at Mamre as he sat in the door of the tent. The God who spoke to Abraham on Mount Moriah. The angel who led Jacob and who blessed him at Peniel. Has he ever wrestled with you? Here I raise mine Ebenezer, we sang. Hither by thy help I'm come. Never forget, friends, the glorious manifestations of the presence of God in your life. Never fail to rejoice over them. Remember your Ebenezers. Raise them to the glory of God. Abraham did that when he looked upon the altar and he saw the ram that was burned up there in the place of his son Isaac. He named that place Jehovah Jireh. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Jacob raised his Ebenezer at a place called Bethel after he had seen the vision and he heard the voice and he made the vow. He raised his Ebenezer, and it's something he never forgot, and God never let him forget it. For when he got into trouble with his boys living at Shechem, he said to his boys, arise. He said it to the whole family. Let's go back to Bethel. God called me back there. And he says, break off the earrings that are in your ears. And he took those things and he put them under an oak in Bethel. And they went up to worship the Lord. Jacob never forgot Bethel. Here I raise mine Ebenezers. Have you raised any recently to the glory of God? In the text that is before us tonight, we want to notice three things that had to do with the raising of their Ebenezer to the glory of God. I want you to notice, first of all, the place where it was raised. Where was this stone erected on which were inscribed the words, Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Well, you see, it was a place where 20 years before Israel had been defeated. That's where it was. Brethren, we must never forget our past defeats. For we are no different than Israel. Often we, like Israel, have gone out in our own strength, just as they did. It was Israel who came to Eli and said, give us the Ark of God, that we may carry it into the battle, for maybe it will save us from the hand of our enemy. And how often we have depended on ceremonies, on ordinances, and not upon the rock of our salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, friends, we can look at these defeats of Israel. And often you and I have been defeated in the same way. But now it's Ebenezer. And Ebenezer is a hill of joy. But I must call to remembrance when I'm on the hill of joy my failures. It was at this very place where they failed. There, as they looked around, were the graves of many Israelites. There were the graves of their proud notions. Oh, they had great notions that day when they carried the Ark of God into battle. And they shouted a great shout. But it didn't mean anything, for God was not included in their plans. There's a grave of self-confidence. Paul writes and he describes what a genuine believer is to the Philippians. And he says, we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. Israel was so filled 20 years before with confidence in the flesh that they were severely defeated by the enemies of God. There we find the graves of our creature strength and all our boasting. But now it's Ebenezer, and this stirs the praise when we think of those words, Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord blessed us. But more than that, this place should refresh our memories of our sin. How often has unbelief prevailed over faith? How often in our lives does pride lift its ugly head? How often is our patience as a children of God like a sickly plant? You can't find it. Oh, we should indeed be surprised if the Sun of Righteousness at all shines upon us because often of our sinful ways. How merciful of God that heaven's abundant blessing rests upon us as it does. But notice, this place should also remind them of their sorrows. It was because of what took place there 20 years ago. Their high priest Eli fell over backward and he broke his neck and died. More than that, his daughter-in-law died as well. And as she was dying, she named the birth of the son that was born Ichabod. The glory of God hath departed because the ark of the Lord had been taken. But now, Ebenezer has become the place of lamentation after God. They had come together to pray. They had come together to repent of their sin. And as they came together, Samuel prayed on their behalf. Now what a blessing it is to see a church praying for God's presence and praying for revival. Revival comes when the church takes a place of grateful thankfulness to God. When I was an electrician in the city of Lebanon, Pennsylvania, there was a good friend of mine, Brother McNeil remembers him. He's a Dallas graduate. He pastored three small churches, rural churches in northern Lebanon County. Fred Lowry. Mr. McNeil always called him Freddy. But he was a dear brother. And every year I'd preach in each one of his churches at least once. And I'll never forget being in the Ono Church. Ono is a little place. You know, you read of this place in the book of Nehemiah, meet us on the plains of Ono. Well, Ono was a small little town in northern Lebanon County. And it was there that one night, I'll never forget it, God graciously came in and blessing. And after most of the people left, there might have been 15 or 20. And I stayed joined with them. They got down on their knees before God and cried to God for revival. You've saved someone tonight. You can save more tomorrow night. Give us souls. Ah, this is what Israel was doing. And they could raise their Ebenezer because of it. They were praying for revival. Why? Ebenezer became the place of a renewed covenant. They were renewing the covenant that they had broken. And that covenant that they had broken was a deliberate breaking of the law covenant. You know, when you read the ninth of Hebrews, and we read of the Ark of the Covenant, why was it called the Ark of the Covenant? Why, because it contained the covenant. It contained the tables of the law. Moreover, it contained the golden pot of manna. Moreover, it contained Aaron's rod that budded. What do those three things speak of? Every one of them speaks of rebellion. The tables of the law speak of their rebellion when they made the golden calf. The golden pot of manna speaks of their rebellion when they rebelled against God in the wilderness of sin. Aaron's rod that budded speaks of their rebellion. When Korah, Dathan, and Abiram rebelled against the order of God that God had ordered in Israel. How could God dwell in the midst of such a people? It was because the Ark of the Covenant had a lid on it. And the lid was a mercy seat. And upon the lid was the blood of an innocent substitute. And when you think of those three things that were in the ark, we find that Christ, who is our mercy seat, whom God set forth, Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a mercy seat. And therefore, when you look at the tables of the law, in the person of Christ, he could say, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. Here we have the perfection of Christ. When we look at the golden pot of manna, when we think of Israel, it speaks of rebellion. But when we see Christ, he says, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Here we have the mighty provision of Christ. If a man eat of me, he shall live forever. When we think of the Aaron's rod that budded, when we think of Israel, it speaks of rebellion. But when we think of Christ, it speaks of his mighty power in resurrection life as our great high priest and ceaseless intercessor. Beloved, they came together to renew the covenant. Oh, what a privilege. Israel is coming in repentance to God. And repentance is always prerequisite to revival. Throughout the book of the Revelation, in the churches that are listed there in chapters 2 and 3, God says to each one, repent, 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 repent. It is God's message to the church. And if we want revival, if we want to raise our Ebenezer to the glory of God, we're going to have to know something of repentance. Israel was in the place now of a renewed covenant. Oh, that name Mizpah. It signifies watchtower. That's what it means. And you see, they were waiting upon God. They were renewing their relationship to him. And now after this visitation, the renewal and victory that took place there, they can raise their Ebenezer to God. Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Have you raised any recently? Oh, friends, these times of remembrance before God, Ebenezer. Now, we not only have the place where this stone was erected, but we have the occasion why the stone was erected. You see, the tribes of Israel had gathered together unarmed to worship. They didn't gather together to fight the Philistines. They gathered together to worship God. But my friend, whenever you decide that you're going to make God the object of your life, the object of your joy, you can expect the displeasure of Satan and those that are aligned with him. The Philistines heard of their gathering, and they suspected a revolt. Hearing that the people had come together, the Philistines determined to attack them. Now, the prophet of God was there. Samuel arose to the occasion. My, what an opportunity. What did he do? He took a lamb. He took a sucking lamb. And he puts it on the altar. And the burnt offering meant all ascended to God. The whole burnt offering ascending to God. It speaks of the person of Christ. For the lamb speaks to God of the person of Christ. And as the smoke ascends, with the prayers of God's people, the voice of man is answered by the voice of God. God answers, and the Philistines were routed. My, when the scripture says, it thundered a great thunder. Ooh, I don't know what that was like. But I've been at a place where the lightning struck and you could hear the electricity sizzle as the lightning jumped from pole to pole. And the thunder cracked. But when God says it was a great thunder, it was a great thunder. You see, the victory, friends, was obtained by the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. The victory is always obtained by the Lamb. And as soon as the Lamb was slain and the smoke ascended to heaven, the blessings of God fell on the people of God and the curses of God fell upon the enemies of God. We raise our Ebenezers tonight to the slain Lamb, now exalted upon the throne of heaven, to whom be glory forever and ever. This is what we did tonight as we gathered in the remembrance of our blessed Lord. You see, the power of prayer was acknowledged. God acknowledged it. The people said to Samuel, cease not to pray for us. Continue to cry unto the Lord for us. And friends, we'll never be able to raise any Ebenezers to God apart from genuine prayer. We'll never raise any Ebenezers to God apart from genuine prayer. If God speaks by me, he must have all the glory. If God saves souls through the efforts of this frail creature, God must have all the glory. All the honor of anything ever accomplished in our lives must be laid at the feet of our blessed Lord. There was prayer, friends, and there was sacrifice. Jehovah came forth in mighty power. Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Beloved, as I look back over my brief life, I can think of times when God came in mighty power. When God sustained me. I have a lot that I owe to Mr. McNeil. I'm going to tell you a story tonight I never told him. He came to our home when my son was a baby, about a year old, maybe two. My, what 2 weeks of blessing it was. There's so much I needed. And one night, I'll never forget it, he showed me some things in the Word of God. How to study. I tell you, I never slept that night. I never slept. I was so excited over the things of the Lord, my mind was racing full speed all night long as I was going over the scriptures and I was rejoicing in what I found in the Word of God. The next day I went to work. I was working in a bank building, and we had to climb up the outside and go into a penthouse over the building. The ceiling was about 60 feet from a marble floor and the people down below. And we took two of us to lift these heavy glass fixtures out of their sockets so we could replace the four light bulbs that were in there. Each one of the light bulbs was 750 watts. It was quite hot when we took them out. And I was still rejoicing in the things of God. And you know what I did? You talk about being upheld by God. I walked between the rafters. You know what that means? I was walking on the ceiling. How that never gave way and fell down and hit somebody on the head at that distance. My friend who was working with me said, "Phil, what are you doing down there?" I said, "Oh, I shouldn't be." And I stepped real cautiously without making a quick wait up on the rafter. I said, "I'm going out for some fresh air." And I went out on the roof that overlooked the main street of the city, and I raised an Ebenezer to God. Here I raised mine Ebenezers. You see, a victory was won the night before. God did a work in my heart. You see? Oh, friends, we have so many Ebenezers that we can raise to God. Have you raised any recently? Here I raise mine Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. But now there's a third thing we want to look at. The inscription on the stone that was erected. Hitherto. No, Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. You see, the central word is all important. And the central word is the Lord. He's the one that's important. It is Lord. But now remember this, and we must always be balanced. While it was the Lord who helped them, the Israelites did not stand idly by and not get involved and use their weapons against the Philistines. We need to be balanced in our lives. Well, it is God who saves, and He's the only one who can save. And if He doesn't save, no one will ever be saved. But He uses poor instruments like you and me to tell the gospel. And we don't stand idly by. We must proclaim the message to a lost world. And just as it was the Lord who helped them, it was the Lord who delivered them. They didn't stand idly by. They got involved. And beloved, we cannot see great results and ascribe them to men. It is the Lord who has to do it. And we can cry out when He does it, "Hitherto, Ebenezer, hitherto has the Lord helped us." What a portion. But now notice, that inscription had a backward look. That word "hitherto" causes us to look back. How far back can you look in your Christian walk with the Lord? 20 years? 30 years? 40 years? 1 year? 2 years? You see, Paul could say, as he wrote to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, "Now thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ." Oh, what a portion. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. But now, while that word "hitherto" causes us to look back, that word "hitherto" causes us also to look ahead. A forward look, you see. No matter what the trial, we can raise our Ebenezer to the Lord. Jacob looked forward. He took his oil and he poured it upon the rock. He took the most precious thing he really had and he poured it out before God. Do you have an alabaster box of ointment like Mary that you can pour out to God? as you raise an Ebenezer to him? Grateful hearts, do you have tonight a word of praise for God? It's ours to give. Maybe you're here tonight. And when we talk about, do you have any oil to pour out to God? You don't have any. Maybe you're like the foolish virgins of the parable of the Lord, and you have no oil. I'll tell you something, I know where you can get some. I know the source. Just look to the cross on Calvary's Hill. Here's where you can get the oil upon that you can use to pour back to God in praise and in worship. There's a sufficient supply. There is an abundant supply. Come to the cross of our blessed Lord. Ask him to graciously save you. Call upon him for his mercy, and he'll give you the oil of praise, and he'll give you the oil of thanksgiving. Hitherto. What a backward look. The most amazing thing to me as a child of God is that backward look. When I look back to the day God saved me, why would God ever save a sinner like me? Think of it. Why was I made to hear thy voice and enter Wilder's room when thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? To the praise of the glory of his grace and his grace alone, he caused me to hear his voice. Blessed be the God of all grace. Oh, that word hitherto. Well, if you have no oil, come. There's a full and an abundant provision in our blessed Lord. Then you can raise an Ebenezer unto the Lord, and you can say from the heart, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. My, it's good to go through life and mark Ebenezers. How many do you have to mark? You know, I know a few of you quite well. And I can think of Ebenezers in your life. What a privilege to be able to sing with Top Lady, here I raise mine Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I'm come, and I know by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. He who has blessed me in the past will provide for the present and give me glorious prospect for the future. For the one to whom I raise the Ebenezer is none other than the Lord Jehovah of hosts. He cannot fail. Boy, we're in good company. Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the privilege of raising Ebenezers to thee. How grateful we are to be partakers of the riches of your grace and to realize, as we did this morning in the Sunday school hour, that blessed verse in Romans 8:18 that speaks of our suffering with Christ. I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed, not to us, but in us. Oh, to be a partaker of Christ and his glory. We thank you tonight that we can commend this company to thee and to the word of thy grace, which is able to build them up and give them an inheritance among all that are sanctified and enable them to raise Ebenezers of praise to thee continually because of thy loving kindness and the greatness of thy grace. We commend them to you in Jesus' name. Amen.